welcome to our program. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, coming to you every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. And we are also streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com. That's RICHARDDUGAN.com. And I'll slow that down just a little bit, and that's RICHARDDUGAN.com. We'd love to have you tune in and listen in. You're going to be able to hear this interview more than once, because when the program is over, it will be archived up on the website for you to be able to listen to at your leisure, to share with family and friends. And we'll have information on our guests as well as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. The program is designed to bring you all kinds of different people, different ideas, different perspectives on life. Everybody's coming from a different point of view, and we're trying to share that here on the program. And today we're going to take a musical look at New Paradigms. We're going to take a look at a CD entitled Detour. Interesting title. Laura Berman is my guest today, and I want to welcome you to our program. It's a pleasure to have you all the way from Oregon.
Yes, thanks for having me, Richard. I'm glad to be here.
And you have this CD called Detour that's out and available to folks. Mm-hmm. Before we get too far afield here, let's go ahead and mention they can actually get this through your website as well as, I'm sure, Amazon and other areas as well. Is that correct?
Right. You can download the record on iTunes and Rhapsody, and you could go to my website, laurabermanmusic.com, and there's a link on there to CD Baby where you can purchase the CD, and you can actually buy downloads, MP3s on CD Baby now, too, as well. So.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept, technologically speaking, because normally, you know, you hear a record sold X number, hundreds, thousands, or millions of albums, and, of course, that whole statistic is going by the wayside because of the capability for all of us to now just download things. So it kind of changes the whole dynamic in terms of music and tabulating how successful you are, assuming that you use those numbers to calculate your success.
Well, sometimes, I mean, it's great when we get our accounting from CD Baby and you know, the download numbers go up, because that's a whole market that we didn't really have access to. It's exciting because it's kind of like viral marketing, how quickly you can promote yourself and get your music out there. So it's a whole other thing. I mean, we still call it a record. You know, we made a record,
right.
And now it's like MP3s. So, I'm very open to how things are. You know, as long as the writers and the performers are compensated, and that was something that the recording industry was working on, and I think they've come to grips with some stuff over the years.
I hope so, because I have often felt that, you're in the recording industry, so I don't want to say anything too disparagingly. However, being in the broadcast industry, trying to use some of the music to enhance what we do here, and by no means to do harm to the performers or the artists and what have you, but I have a feeling that the recording industry is more interested in having all of the pie and not letting anybody share in the success and so forth. And that's just my own observation. But needless to say, you have a beautiful CD called Detour, and we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about your perspectives on life, your beliefs, and the places that you've been and things that you've encountered in terms of the way you want your world to appear. And we would ask our listeners to stay with us. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm going to be joined throughout the program by my special guest. Her name is Laura Berman, and the CD is entitled Detour. This is New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned.
You can't go on holding back a flooding river. Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you. It haunts me too. Yes, and I do know how you feel.
Understanding, that is what it's about here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. And if you are not hearing us on the radio, you can hear us on the internet live streaming at richarddugan.com. My special guest today, Laura Berman, and she has a CD out, and it's entitled Detour. And of course, you're sitting there going, I don't recall you ever talking about having artists on your program. I thought this was all spiritual people, people that were just out there and, believing and manifesting and so forth. Well, let me ask you, what are you manifesting these days, Laura?
Well, my husband Craig Benelli and I, we moved basically 9 months ago. We moved from New York to Southern Oregon to, step into a greater idea of ourselves. I mean, we've been in this niche market for about 5 years and playing Sunday services and doing conferences in the New Thought spirituality, Religious Science Unity. The Religious Science Church has actually evolved, changed their name to Center for Spiritual Living, or CSL. And we, it wasn't so scary because we sort of have been very successful. We write original music. It's incorporated into a Sunday service. We also have written, group songs, and we play instrumental music, and we've just gotten a tremendous response, which has fed us, spiritually and financially. And it wasn't such a risk because we knew that this sort of formula worked. But, I knew in my heart, I kept saying to Craig, this isn't just for Sunday services. I think this uprooting, getting out of your comfort zone, leaving your friends and family, we didn't really know what we thought we knew we were pursuing. But, some other things have come as a result, and, musically and in our relationship, that it's just we've really grown from the experience. So, certainly we've manifested greater peace in our lives and more exposure and more CD sales. So, it's pretty exciting for us, this music ministry.
Your music comes from a particular perspective, and I want to kind of address that because we like to get to know the folks, where they're from, where their ideas, their concepts, their beliefs, if you will, come from. So now you perform as a ministry in various churches and some might say sort of New Thought, although there is nothing new under the sun, as we probably both know. But tell me about the various venues where you do perform, and then we'll get into some of the music and the inspiration for that music and so forth. So where are some of the places that you go?
We traveled up the East Coast, now the West Coast. Unity churches, or Religious Science churches, they're called Centers for Spiritual Living now, but they're all over, and they're not even registered. They're not religions, and because there's not enough. I think maybe they have 100,000 members of the New Thought community, but it's philosophy. It's a philosophy of life, and it is spiritual in that the service includes meditations and affirmative prayer, and this type of prayer is more like, we say, affirmative. It's not praying to anything. It's sort of affirming this connection we have to God. The main thing about New Thought is that there's no separation, that we are God in expression, we're a spirit in expression, we're a love in expression, and, any sort of ill will, disease, sadness, depression, anything in our lives is just us forgetting, how wonderful and beautiful we are and all the sort of miracles we can do in this life. So the affirmative prayers are more just about, and the meditations are about just affirming what we already know, again, and not the separation, and that there's, a worship sort of thing to something outside of us. That's what we believe anyhow.
It's also quite wonderful to put all of that into the context of music. Music has been said, in one sense, to sort of be that universal language that everybody understands. Whether you can understand the words, you can feel the emotion in the song.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about some of the music. Now, by the way, the CD that's out, Detour, where does this fall numerically? Is this your first CD or...?
It's actually my third. There's two CDs that we put out when we were working in the New Thought community. Just these songs were written, we were hired to write songs for special programs and Sunday services. So we'd be given a topic and ideas and some readings and things, and we would go in our separate rooms, my husband Craig and I, and come up with songs to support the topic, which makes the service and the workshop and the event even more impactful because everything's sort of tied together. Lyrically and all that. So this is the third. Craig's written all the songs on it and produced it with a friend of ours back in New York, Scott Cresswell. And, you know, some people, I've met people, you know, Christians who are like, you know, you should win a Dove Award. And then you regular, you know, people who don't go to services, who just hear positive pop. And the people in New Thought who hear a song and are cracked open and are crying because it gives them a feeling. So we really were smart, and we felt really strongly about producing the record so it sounded radio ready, like a song you might hear on country radio or pop radio, and also that the material never said anything about, you know, the Christ consciousness or God, you know, there's some God in it, but it's really just kind of mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our approach to it.
And
make it accessible, yeah.
So, as a matter of fact, why don't we go ahead and listen to, this is actually the first track on Detour, and this is called The Letting Go. So mm-hmm. Let's take a listen to a little bit of that here on Tell Me Your Story. My guest is the vocalist in this particular, on this song, Laura Berman, my guest, and the album is Detour. This is The Letting Go.
I think it's time for The Letting Go. It's time for The Letting Go. I think it's time for The Letting Go. 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 I must have been crazy to stand my ground. A queen with no fortune defending her crown. I must have been out of my mind. You think I'd have learned when every road to redemption crossed a bridge that I burned. Oh no, I think it's time for the letting go. It's time for the letting go. I think it's time for the letting go. Fists up high, proclaiming my case at the cost of my soul. Such a disgrace to look inside at what I'd become, denying
Berman is my guest. She is the singer on this song. The album is Detour, and that's The Letting Go. Boy, I tell you what, a phrase, a blast from the past from my standpoint as far as the music is concerned, in terms of referring to it as, that's a real toe-tapper. Because, no, that'll get you, that I would say yes, is definitely radio ready. that's pretty nice. And of course, obviously the words in there have a great meaning for you when you are coming up with the various, lyrics for the different songs. What is your inspiration?
Well, for me personally, I mean, I get a lot of, you know, most of my inspiration really from just being in relationship with people and hearing people's stories and having discussions and being honest with my friends, and not so much my family. I haven't gotten there yet, but people in my life, my non-blood family, just, you know, really being honest and vulnerable with each other to just hear what's going on. And then, you know, I don't know. I just try and be as honest and vulnerable, you know, and also positive and not scared to share, you know, what I go through, because I'm just like everyone else, you know. I mean, what's the point in just saying everything's always great? I'm all the time in a perfect world, but I really do think we need the contrast in our life to sort of show us the dark and the light and all that. So I don't, you know, I don't listen to so much music nowadays. I mean, I do love pop, you know, pop music and country music, but I go back to like my Joni Mitchell records and my James Taylor records. I think I was born in the wrong decade, but so, and now we live in Southern Oregon, and I'm like, well, who am I? My hair is long. I kind of look like Carole King. It's like, I think I'm living someone else's life.
Well, you never know. Maybe there are two of you roaming around and you're doppelganger, as it were. Now, how long have you been making music?
Well, I've been singing for a really long time, since I was, like, you know, in elementary school, and I played the piano as well. But I would say I've probably been writing for a good 10 years or 15 years. Even my first album was all kind of just pop inspirational stuff. I always loved gospel music, and it really inspired me. And so, that's sort of where I live in the inspirational world. But, yeah, about 10, 15 years writing, yeah.
Now, you say that you're still working on the relationship with your family.
Well, I've become more honest with them over the years. But, I mean, there's still stuff that comes up. I mean, I'm 40, almost 41, and, you know, there's things, you know, just being, I think maybe for me, you do sort of choose your family to work out your stuff. I know that sounds kind of hippy-dippy, but, you know, maybe there's still stuff that, you know, triggers, just family events and things people say that you feel like you're back when you're five again. You know, it's the life, sort of the life, you know, it's life, you know. And I guess my job is just to separate myself from it, not like avoiding it, but just in the moment. This is a practice, like a daily practice, to kind of separate yourself. I'm reacting to this. Let me pull back a little so I can have a little perspective on it. And the family is a great place to practice that.
Oh yeah.
I love my family. So, and believe me, they're probably not listening to this interview, because when you're doing inspirational stuff, you know, my mom was never really, she's not a sort of a spiritual person, and scary sometimes, but we grew up Jewish, and my mom, you know, experienced, she grew up in the 40s and 50s when there was a lot of hatred towards the Jews and from the Christians. There's that fear there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on forever about that, so family's good, but I just think everything is an opportunity to just sort of bless the situation and bring a sense of grace to it. And it's all, I feel like we make up all, there's so much drama that we just make up, you know, just so we can just be dramatic instead of letting a lot of stuff go, so we can just enjoy the moments, you know.
So have you had any extraordinary experiences? I bring this up because for some reason this came to mind, you're talking family and everything, and I remember maybe a few years ago, my mother asked me if I had ever had any supernatural experiences. And I said, well, I don't know. I mean, whatever's been happening in my life has just kind of happened. And it, for me, it's just been normal. So I would be hard for me to pick anything out.
I don't know. You mean, like, you know, so, some people I know actually, you know, feel the presence of, you know, soul, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just...
Or even for that matter, sort of miraculous events, healings, or epiphanies, or things of that nature.
I actually recently, I did music for a retreat up in Eugene, near Eugene on the Mackenzie River, and we were talking, it was a retreat for women, and I mean, men have it too, and, you know, just sort of like the self-judgment and the self-talk that you sometimes don't even hear, you know, it's kind of like just quiet, and I've had my own issues, a lot of women do, just about, you know, body image and that sort of thing, and I don't know, we were sitting by the river, and my husband, you know, I don't know if this happens in your relationship, but just, he was starting to get mad at me. He's like, when you say something bad about yourself, you're kind of insulting me, because I love you, and you're beautiful, and don't say that stuff anymore. It makes me mad. So I kind of let it go, and I haven't had any of sort of that body image self-talk since. I really just think it's gone. It's been with me since I can remember, and now it's just gone. So I would say that's pretty miraculous, and kind of a weight lifted, you know. That's,
well, and especially when you're, as a woman, I mean, women seem to have, at least stereotypically, seem to have the bigger burden as far as body image than men do. Although men are starting, strangely enough, are starting to go in that stupid direction.
I know.
You know?
I know.
I mean, a lot of guys are. I watch the hair commercials for men. You know, the hair transplant stuff. And of course, I shave my head. I'm bald, and it's like, get over it. Get over your vanity. You know, what difference does it make whether you have hair or don't? It's who you are on the inside. It's what you are able to do and accomplish on the inside that comes out, and not the covering on your head. Although I do recommend always wearing a hat when you're out in the sun.
Some sunblock and a hat.
There
you
go.
Yeah, you're right. There's just, you know, I know that when I caught myself last week, I think I was making sure, like, my makeup was perfect, and I was like, how am I feeling that I'm on the inside, that I'm so concerned with how I look on the outside? It's an opportunity to kind of, you know, just, I see everything as an opportunity instead of, you know, going right to beating myself up about how I act, or just see everything as an opportunity, you know, to kind of grow and look at stuff and you know, kind of dissolve some old thought patterns and, you know.
That's a huge difference from where most of us come from as far as that's what we do, you know. Even if we've I was watching a program just the other night where this individual, well, actually, let me back that up even further. I received a phone call from my baby sister who just learned to drive, and she's in her 40s.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Now, many of our listeners know that I was legally blind up until I was 36, and I got a lens. I have had a lens implant in 96, and I have been driving ever since.
Wow.
Well, she didn't have the lens implant, but she did have the ability to use a piece of equipment that's mounted on the glasses for her to be able to see distance. And then, of course, you look below that device and you see there close up. And she was sharing with me her experiences. And a matter of fact, she even got very emotional about the whole thing, and that she was actually kind of upset with herself because, you know, of the circumstances. And she says, has that ever happened to you? And I said, well, I actually felt bad about saying this, but I said, no. But I told her, I says, don't worry about the journey that you're taking in terms of whether you have to take 5 or 50 detours. If you went from home to the store and you got the box of raisins and then you got home safely with the box of raisins, then take extreme joy in that fact that you were able to do that.
That's wonderful.
But then I asked her, I understand that you have all of the legal and physical rights to be on the road. My question is, do you want to be on the road? And of course, her answer was yes. See, I fought for years to try to get a driver's license, and then one just to ride a moped, and I couldn't get one in Arizona. And I said, you know what? It doesn't matter anymore. I'm okay with pedaling until I'm 90. It's okay. I'm good with that. And then the next year, boom, I get the lens implants. Like, oh, okay, you finally gave it up, so now we're going to give it to you.
That's how it works. Isn't that funny?
Oh, yeah. But I marvel. I mean, I was shocked when I drove here to California and here to Santa Barbara, because I actually drove through Los Angeles on those freeways. I mean, and it was incredible. It was wonderful. It was very exciting, not in a scary way. So I think that it really is the perspective that we take about ourselves. You know, if there's, it's like there's a goal that you're trying to reach. Don't beat yourself up for how you achieved the goal. Rejoice in the fact and pat yourself on the back for the fact that you reached the goal.
Mm-hmm. And if you didn't, it just means you had to do all the stuff on the way to that to find the other place you're supposed to be. You know, there just seems to be purpose in all of it, and just enjoy the journey, you know, just enjoy the moments and the journey, and don't be scared to trust your intuition. That's one thing I've learned, is if something doesn't feel right, it's, you know, trust yourself and listen to yourself, you know, and of course others, but really you have to trust yourself. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My guest is Laura Berman, and she is a musician, a singer, and she has an album out called Detour. It's her latest album. It's her third album, as she has told us here on the program, and it is available through the various locations that you might think, as well as some that you might even not know about, and one of those is lauraberman.com. Actually,
Laura,
that's
Berman
Laura
Music.
Berman Music. I just picked up the sheet of paper as I said the incorrect there. lauraberman.com. And you can certainly pick that up. We will have a link as well to your website on our website, so people can go to our website, listen to this interview again and again and again, and then click on the link to your website and hopefully check out your music.
Right.
It's extraordinary. I've interviewed a number of Christian musicians in the first 15 or so years of my career, and it's been extraordinary to listen to what they have to say. One of them, by the name of John Fisher, and I haven't followed his career for 15 years. Nonetheless, in the last interview that I did with him, he told me that he moved from California out to New England, and that he was sitting in his writer's garret looking out the window at the leaves turning golden brown and falling off the trees in the autumn. And he began to ask the question, is what I believe what I've been told to believe or what I really believe?
Hmm.
What's your perspective on that?
You mean
on you?
Do I believe what I believe because I believe it or what
yeah,
I've been
is it,
told to believe?
Is it yours or was it given to you?
It's mine now. I mean, I've been on a long road. You know, I think as a young child, I always was exploring. I was, you know, exposed to gospel music when I was young, and I always was kind of poking around my best friend's house growing up, who she was Italian Catholic, and I just was really intrigued by it, and I've always been seeking, and you know, like I had mentioned, I grew up Jewish, but it was sort of like a cultural thing, and. You know, when we got into playing these spiritual centers, I was scared. It was something that I hadn't been exposed to, and they sometimes use Jesus and they sometimes use Christ consciousness, and I didn't know what it was, but there was something about it. You know, I'm glad I didn't run away from it, but it really opened me up. And then, you know, I struggled with, you know, who am I if you know, my family is Jewish, and there's some things that I feel are, you know, culturally that I can't let go of, but I'm also sort of Christian and that I, you know, follow the teachings of Jesus. And then it kind of reconciled and I realized that I can choose to believe, you know, whatever I want, whatever works for me. You know, I've met a lot of people, husband included, was, you know, he's grew up Catholic and, you know, people that were taught a certain thing and have had to unwind from it. And I, on the other hand, grew up with nothing. So I sort of had to build on it, but also have feelings of inadequacy that I didn't belong anywhere. The truth is you don't, if you believe in, you know, something higher or bigger, God or universal spirit or whatever term you want to use, if you just believe in that, you don't have to belong to anything that believes anything. You don't have to you can just be and have that relationship and don't need sort of anything in between. I mean, if you want to go to church, it's great, but I just feel like maybe it doesn't matter what anyone else tells you. It's your relationship, you know, with God or something bigger, you know. So I hope that answered your question. I guess I kind of do. At this age, I do believe I've created a belief system for me that works for me. And despite people who may or may not believe what I believe, I'm really open to hearing what other people believe. I spent, we're sort of in the Christian market, although we're not because we can't get played on contemporary Christian radio. I mean, they have a certain format, and sometimes people think we're in a cult because we're not talking about Jesus. Or, you know, this one club in New Jersey, like, loved the music. They loved it. And then they want us to sign a faith statement to play there that said, you know, we believe that the Bible is the holy word, you know, all the things that the Christians believe in. And we were like, we just can't deal with it because that's not what we believe. But if you like the music and it inspired you, who cares? You know, that's a whole other conversation. Yeah. But I research a lot. I followed the careers of Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen, who certainly he's bridging a gap because if you ever see him talk, he's not really doing too much preaching in that way. But, you know, I'm open to hearing what people have to say and what they feel about stuff, but I'm not going to try and save anyone or make anyone believe anything. That's not my job.
Right. I remember before I got into radio, my mother once again makes some wonderful statements, as mothers often do. She suggested that I get a job at a religious radio station, to which I responded, I don't want them shoving their beliefs down my throat. And the real irony was when I went to work for the station, and after I got comfortable, after about a year or two, I turned the tables, and it was like I was doing that. But I was also going through many different phases of believing. I mean, because I was born and raised Catholic, so I went through this very pro-Catholic phase. Then I went through a very pro-Protestant phase. And then I moved into another phase that said, they're both right and they're both wrong. And, you know, and so it was one of those wonderful growing experiences working in a religious radio station, a Christian station, that I was glad to have been paid for, because I was able to learn a little radio along the way as well. So it's fascinating, and I agree with you. The people that I've interviewed over the years, Christian artists, musicians, as I mentioned, I interviewed one gal who wrote a 12-step book of her experiences. And I remember in the interview, throughout the interview, and this was in a time when, you know, the Bible thumping and hell and damnation and all of that kind of stuff, and the devil was very real. And there was nowhere in the interview nor in her book where I can recall her ever mentioning the devil. That it was fully on her, that she took responsibility and she was going through these 12 steps. And I almost asked a question in that regard. And then it dawned on me that it wasn't my place to do that. And so, like what you said, you're not out to try to get anybody to believe what you believe. Mm-hmm. You're just wanting to share these inspiring songs.
Yeah, basically. And, you know, there have been situations where we've been around people who have tried to do that. And I have compassion. I just think that whenever we're trying to convince someone of anything, you know, whether it's politics or, you know, whatever it is, I just think that maybe there's just a little fear in us, you know, or just we're feeling a little unsettled or we just want to control, you mm-hmm. know. And I always go, I love this sort of psychology of it and the spiritual psychology. And you know, I have mixed feelings also about, you know, ministers being counselors, because I think there's a lot to our human nature and how we've grown up and things that have happened to us that I don't think just believing in God or whatever can really fix. So I always take that perspective, like if they're trying to do that or put their opinions on me, that maybe I can open up, I can kind of look at, you know, be compassionate towards myself and them. I mean, there's also a belief that whenever you're feeling triggered by someone, this is a big thing in the New Thought industry, New Thought realm. It is an industry, I guess, because Michael Beckwith is out there and you know, he's Oprah's spiritual advisor, but, you know, that it's an opportunity to look at why we're, you know, if we're being triggered by something, then maybe that's something that we've got to work out. It doesn't mean that when you're in relationship with someone else, their stuff isn't in the mix, but we're only, Marianne Williamson said this once, it was great, you know, we're only responsible for us, our mm-hmm. reaction and our stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. sure, if something happens, they could be wrong and it's their fault, blah, 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 but we're really just responsible for us, you know, and that, man, if everybody took, and I'm not trying to, you know, maybe I'm preaching now, but imagine if everybody sort of started taking responsibility for their stuff, how the world could change.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, you raise an interesting thought in me about it's on. You're only responsible for your stuff. I remember a story that Wayne Dyer told at a seminar that, or actually a lecture or a speaking engagement that he gave in Phoenix that we attended, and he was talking about giving to the homeless and how he was walking down the street with his entourage, as he phrased it, and he pulled out a $100 bill out of his wallet and he walked over one of these homeless guys on the side of the street and he gave it to them. And of course, his entourage pulled him way off to the side and said, "What are you doing? You know he's just going to spend that on drugs and so on and so forth." He says, "But see, you don't understand. What he does with it isn't my responsibility. What my responsibility is to do what my heart calls me to do."
Mm-hmm.
And so my intent is to help this person. What right. this person does with the help that I provide or what have you, that's on them. So I've done my part. I'm clean. I'm good. Mm-hmm. Now it's up to that individual. So I think that goes a long way, as you've already stated, to, again, you take personal responsibility. You do what you can with mm-hmm. what you have, and you move forward. Speaking of moving forward, we're talking with Laura Berman, and her album is Detour, her third album. Tell me a little, before we hear the song I Do, tell me a little bit about that. Because when I first saw the title, I'm going, is this a song about weddings and marriage or something?
We've performed at a couple of weddings, but it was written, Craig wrote it, and it's really, you know, it's a real positive, affirmative song. Just, you know, in the chorus, it's saying, I do to love, I do to no expectations, and I used to say don't, but now I do, you know, and sort of just really affirming your life and not being so afraid, and it's one of my favorites, actually.
Okay, well, let's take a listen to I Do. This is Laura Berman, and the CD is Detour, here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World.
Take away my doubts, they only weigh me down. How won't, so they can't be found. Bottle up my fear and throw it into the sea. And if by chance one day it floats back to me, I'll just laugh out loud and say here and now, I do to a love that knows no reservation. I do to a will that knows no hesitation. I do to a choice with no expectation. No, no, I used to say don't, but now
Berman, I Do, from the CD Detour here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I always try to find the instrumental bridge in the song to break into so I don't interrupt the vocals because, well, gee, you wrote the words for people to hear, so don't interrupt them. It's funny, too, because, again, going back to my early days in radio, I used to produce some of these gospel programs, and sometimes the hosts would just sit there talking over the song, talking over the singer singing. I'm going, why are you, I don't understand. Well, it's what we do. I was like, what, then why play the song? because I can't hear the words. So anyway, it's a pleasure to have you on the program today. Again, Laura Berman and laurabermanmusic.com. That is the website that you can go to and check out her music and also find out if maybe she's appearing in your particular area. Now, that's another good question. How far afield will you travel if someone wants to, say, bring you to their town, to their church?
We'll travel anywhere. You know, if we all often ask if we could just get some help with, you know, travel expenses. But anyone interested can email me, and we're happy to talk. We do house concerts too, which is really great for summertime, and you get to experience the whole, you know, sort of hour and a half of music as opposed to just the Sunday service. But we'll you know, have gear, we'll travel.
What about the holidays? How do you handle that? I mean, you say you were born and raised in a Jewish family, and so obviously now you're amongst those who have additional holidays. And I remember doing some research, wanting to know more about the Jewish holidays around Christmas and so forth. And I, of course, found out about, you know, Hanukkah and thinking, oh, this is great. Well, we'll celebrate. And I found out that, oh, no, this is actually a minor holiday in the Jewish tradition. It's not a big deal. And I'm like, oh, rats.
It is a minor holiday. I mean, but one thing that's really interesting when you get into the metaphysical world is that you can look, you know, you could see, let's say, a holiday like Hanukkah, the festival of lights, you know, what, how does that translate into keeping our lights? You know, how does that sort of work with, like, let's say, winter solstice and the light and the dark, or, you know, in the birth of, you know, for Christmas, the birth of Christ, or the Christ in you, and sort of like the days leading up to it as a, you know, Advent, as a period of introspection in the darkness and all that. But we do, you know, we do Christmas and we don't celebrate Hanukkah, but we actually do Christmas concerts. Craig's written original Christmas record, so we go out and we do you know, modern Christmas songs about the story of the Nativity. So we're going to go out and do a whole bunch of Christmas concerts this year up in Seattle, and
I think in Portland also. Well, that was a big thing back in on the East Coast that we did, because he grew up in the Catholic Church and then started writing songs for Christmas and then started performing the Christmas Eve Mass and then started doing concerts there. So we're glad to be starting that tradition here on the West Coast as well.
Well, I'm sure that his songs have much more meaning and inspiration than the ones that I would come up with, because I was always taking the traditional ones and twisting them, but that's on another album at another time.
That's fun, too. I mean, you know, different arrangements of stuff, or a lot of new thoughters, like, replace words and stuff. But we do a version of Silent Night that just, it's gorgeous, and I love Christmas music. The Jew, like, I'm just born in a different different religion and born into the wrong decade. You know, I'm trying to work it all out now.
Born into the wrong time and the wrong space. Well, actually, go ahead.
I was just going to say, or it's all right.
Or it's all right. I was going to say you're right where you need to be at the right time, and I've certainly I'm certainly glad that you're right here with us here on the program. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And we come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. The program is available live on the Internet, live streaming every Saturday. And the programs are also available. We archive them up on the website. We also provide you with a link to the guest's website, and I would have to say in the time that we've been doing this program since September of 2007, I've only had two guests who have not had a website. Only two. And one of them is a dear friend, my mentor back in Phoenix, my acting coach, and she does not have a website. She also doesn't have a computer and doesn't want to learn. And there are times when I wish I hadn't learned, because I've had experiences where I have just enough knowledge to get myself in a lot of trouble. So there you go. But if you are computer savvy and you want to check out Laura's music, it's laurabermanmusic.com, and we encourage you to do so. Beautiful music, beautiful voice, and a beautiful lady who is sharing her time with us today. You are obviously available for, as we've just talked about, available for people to come and for people to contact you, and they can do that, I'm sure, through your email address, laura@laurabermanmusic.com.
Yeah, they can just email me right there. Any questions, any insights, you know, I'm really open to it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Now, let's, because we still have some time left here on the program, to talk further about not just your music, but also your travels. What are some of the more unusual places that you have been? And have you traveled abroad? Have you had a chance to do that?
Not yet. It's something that I've really wanted to do, and I just know in order to do that, I think we've been wanting to expand our team, and we're going to need to sort of find a trustworthy booking sort of manager person to help. I mean, it's a bit of an overwhelming, I feel a little overwhelmed with the overseas booking, but I know that'll all come together, and we've been encouraged just to really head out. And someone just recently said we should go to Japan, that they would really love this music. So there may be a lot happening in the next couple of years, but as far as we've traveled up to the Tri-Cities in Washington and performed there and ate the delicious Spudnut donuts, which are so good. We actually had seen the Food Network did a special program on this place in Redmond in Tri-Cities, and I wrote it in the calendar. I'm like, we have to go to Spudnuts. And we've been to CSL, the Center for Spiritual Living in Seattle, and Unity Seattle, wonderful place. Really enjoy going up to Seattle and Portland. We're actually going to be in Portland next weekend at Unity Church, and we've been to San Francisco. We were actually in LA a couple of weeks ago to play at a Westlake church, and did a youth service at Granada Hills, which is wonderful that they have sort of it's not youth, it's young adults, so it's for people like 19 to 30, so it's a great little thing they're doing there. And we just got back from, we were in Spokane, Washington, because we're involved with the aging services organizations, so we perform for the folks who work in the assisted living facilities and nursing homes to inspire them. They do tremendous work, and it's been very fulfilling for us. So we've gotten involved with them, and Craig wrote their theme song called Changing Lives, which is the theme of the year, and we're going to be at the National Conference in November in Chicago. They're going to have like 10,000 people there, so
wow.
That's a great way, again, talking earlier about sort of thinking you have the right idea about what you're doing and knowing that you're going to expand, and then we got this opportunity to get involved in with the aging services sector, and it's just created more fans, more inspiration, more opportunities. So that's going on, and we're just trying to also get out there in the Ashlands area, and we're doing open mics and doing gigs, and trying to get the folks around here who to know us locally, because it's different when you live in New York and you have to drive into Manhattan and find a parking spot. Here, it's you just drive 10 minutes up the road and you park in the parking lot and you just go do your gig. So it's all different fall wax. So.
Sounds like a lot of fun. We're going to continue our program. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Don't you go away. More coming up.
If we take to that road, see how far it goes, and on that great ocean road, all the countries in our bones, all the trouble that you know empties out as you go.
You know I will, here on Tell Me Your Story every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. Today we're talking with Laura Berman. She's a musician along with her husband Craig, and we are talking about her CD Detour, which is available at laurabermanmusic.com. And you can email her if you'd like to get in touch with her, your questions, comments. Maybe you'd like to have she and her husband come to your facility, your church, your group, and have them perform. They will certainly they would love to do that. So give them a ring, if you will, over at Laura at laurabermanmusic.com. And again, we'll have the link up on our website as well to your website so people can continue to investigate. That's what we do here, Laura, is we just want to put these different ideas, different things out there for people so that they can pick and choose what it is that they feel resonates with them. That kind of, I like that. That sounds kind of neat. I'm going to check into that. You know, that's too weird for me. And I'm not going there. And some people say that. It's just a little too weird. Some people think this show in general is just a little too weird for them. That's okay. I just love the fact that if they're listening, I warn you only at the end. I would never warn you at the beginning that once you've heard this program, it's too late. You've heard it. Do you ever think about that with your music? You know, it's like, I really want people to hear this. And so you take it someplace and you play it, and now it's too late. They've heard the music.
Yeah, and we love to see the reactions from people, and sometimes we joke about it that if something hits someone real hard and they cry, we're like, our job is done here. You
know? I have one final question I want to ask
sure.
you before we wrap up in only a minute or so. There are a lot of things that certainly you in particular, but you and your husband could be doing, and I mean just a myriad of things. But you're doing this music, you're performing this music and providing this wonderful, wonderful opportunity for people. Why this? Why now?
It's the only thing that feels right. And I've tried, we've both tried a lot of other stuff. And, you know, when you're tight and you're anxious and you're frustrated and you're depressed and you're angry, it's just you're in a pot. You know, as August Gold from Sacred Center New York said, I'll never forget it. You know, you're in a pot that's too small for you. And you're root bound, and you gotta sort of get out of that pot, and it's scary, but you step into the next pot so you can grow. And we love being in service, we love writing, we love being appreciated, we love making our living this way. And it's the right time also, I think, just for us to have our voice be heard. And
That's great.
All good. Yeah.
That's great. Well, Laura, thank you so much, and I thank your husband for allowing you to have the time to share with us. Maybe next time we'll have the two of you on the program. And again, I'll let our listeners know that it's laurabermanmusic.com. Once again, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Richard. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
And I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Join us every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Until next time, this is Tell Me Your Story. Love, Talal. See you next week.
Oh, there's a thousand things to do.